1 John 5:14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. And so we can ask the question, how can we be confident that we will receive everything we ask of Him? And we have the answer. We know that He hears us. And He hears us when we ask according to His will. And to know His will, it is necessary for us to learn to listen to Him in His commandments, instructions, which He offers us in the preached word. Here we see presented the principle of the collaboration of man with God by the means of his ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in his own spirit and the ability to agree and demonstrate obedience to the will of God. And we ask the question, what conditions do we need to fulfill to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit within our heart and differentiate it from other voices? For this, we need to determine what these other voices are and what is the voice of the Lord. Other voices is the voice of the personal flesh, the voice of this world in the form of our nation, the voice of blood in the form of our house, the voice of false prophets within our churches, and this is the voice of religious demons within our minds. All these voices claim and battle with the voice of the Holy Spirit within our heart, so that they can possess our heart. And the battlefield between the voice of God within our spirit and other voices is the human heart. We've noted more than once that the ability, Apostle Arkady writes, that the ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit within our heart and differentiate it from other voices will depend upon building your heart into a sanctuary in which God will dwell and where He will reveal Himself to us using His voices. Following God's principle functioning within the body of Christ Jesus, which is the bride of the Lamb or the chosen from the multitude of the called, we conclude that any revelation is able to be received exclusively by being instructed in faith. And we are able to receive this instruction in faith exclusively from those saints who God places over us. If we do not agree with this principle, then all of our revelations which we ascribe to God are other voices that resist the voice of God, and these voices will lead us to perish, although they promise they are leading us to heaven. 2 Corinthians 1:20 through 22. For all of the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Further, to identify and differentiate the nature of the voice of God within our heart from the nature of other voices, we will pay attention to one unique metaphor which identifies the voice of God within the heart of man. In this metaphor, the voice of the Lord within the heart of man is presented in 7 signs, by which we can examine as to whether our heart satisfies the requirements of the temple of God or if it does not. Psalm 29:4-11. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Siren like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple, everyone says glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The phrase that we see here, and in his temple everyone says glory, indicates the fact that all of the above-mentioned acts are components of the voice of the Lord, which come out of the mouth out of his mouth within his temple, the temple of our body. And so we see these seven, the voices, or how the voice of the Lord is demonstrated, reflected. The voice of the Lord is powerful, is full of majesty. It breaks the cedars of Lebanon. It divides the flames of fire. It shakes the wilderness of Kadesh, makes the deer give birth, and strips the forests bare. The demonstration of the voice of the Lord within the heart of man, within these seven components, means that the heart of such a person is the throne of the Most High. And today we will look a little bit at the second goal that the voice emanating from the throne pursues, is to magnify the Lord beyond the borders of Israel. As we read, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The reason the voice of the Lord magnifies the Lord beyond the borders of Israel is to demonstrate evidence of God's love over the nations whom God has loved, and hatred over the nations whom God has hated. Malachi 1:1-5. The burden of the word of the Lord is to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord, yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, your eyes shall see, and you shall say, Lord, the Lord is magnified beyond the borders of Israel. And the Lord was magnified when he loved Jacob and hated Esau. Here he magnified himself . Looking at this place of Scripture, we conclude that God has foreknown us and loved us because of our belonging to the birthright that is in Christ Jesus, and Esau, in the form of the carnal man, he has hated for forsaking the birthright that is in Christ Jesus. We know that Esau sold his birthright. He hated it because he did not value it. He came from the fields, so-called fields of evangelism, and he saw that Jacob was preparing something, and he said, give me what is that red that you're cooking. And he said, sell me a birthright. And he says, well, what do I need it for, this birthright in Christ Jesus? And he says, vow to me that you will give it to me. And he says, I vow to you, I swear to you, I will give you the birthright of Christ. And he gave him what he was preparing, the food that he was preparing. And so God loved Jacob, hated Esau. The birthright can't be purchased or sold. It can be lost, or it can be purchased back, so to say, taken back as something lost and reobtained. And so Jacob, that needs to become Israel, the birthright that he was trying to buy, Jacob needed to purchase it back for himself, and Esau didn't actually sell it. He became absolutely bankrupt. He lost it completely. When a person sells, he obtains something. Esau understood when he ate whatever Jacob was preparing that he obtained nothing. He understood he lost everything. And Jacob received blessing from the father, and the father said, go into Haran from the wrath of Esau and find a wife in Haran in Mesopotamia. And Jacob went to Haran, and he stopped at one of the locations, and it was late at night, and he had placed a stone and fell asleep on it, and he saw a dream, and there was a ladder that connected the earth and to heaven, and angels were ascending and descending upon this ladder, and on this ladder, atop of this ladder, was the Lord. And he said, I am the God of Abraham your father, and Isaac, the land where you lay, I give to you. And wherever you go, I will be with you, and I vow that I will bring you back to this land and this promise. Of course, as we know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did come back this is the redemption. This, of course, symbolically is the redemption of our body. When Jacob woke up, he said, I did not know that the Lord was here. And he was greatly afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? And he had taken the stone that he had laid down upon, and he had said, if you bring me back, then I'll make this stone the house of God, and from everything you give me, I will give you a tenth part, and I will purchase back that inheritance that I was trying to originally buy from Esau. And so he returned to this place that was called Bethel, the house of God, and he honored God with his tithes and his offerings. And in these tithes and offerings, he had demonstrated before God that he could not just go and buy it. He demonstrated before God that he loves God. And Jacob showed this to God, but Esau demonstrated the fact that he hated God in the actions that he had taken. Right now, we're going to thank God and sing and take part in this great service. And so the service of tithes and offerings is the concluding phase in the life of Israel. It was already Israel. He was already Israel. Everything we're going to be doing right now, this act, this service, allows us, it gives us the right to the inheritance, because God had told Jacob, the land you're laying on, I will give as an inheritance. And Jacob took the proper steps, and we need to take the proper steps. We honor God with our tithes and offerings, and we connect ourselves to those blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that if when honoring God with your tithes, you then demonstrate the right that you have to the promises that God has promised us or given us. We are going to do the same thing as Jacob. Let us stand up and take part in this great service.
wiecznemu Bogu i Ojcu całym wszech cary. Synowie, 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 pośpiesz do pasieja, pasieja, dzień żatwy przyjdzie niezabity. Пошлёшь, что посеял тогда. Все добрые семя завидя Христа. Пошлёшь, что посеял, посеял тогда. День жатвы придёт незаметный. Пошлёшь, что посеял тогда.
I will happily repeat after our pastor remind us of the principle that every time the nation of Israel honored God with their tithes and offerings in the tabernacle of Moses, temple of Solomon, they were required as a command from Moses to stretch out their hands over their tithes and proclaim a great proclamation, which they continued to do for thousands of years. We're that same Israel connected to the same roots, nourished by the same olive tree. We will do the same thing. Please stretch out your hand over your tithes. And please pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought it into your temple so that you may have food within your house. I do not give in impurity. I do not give in sorrow. I do not give for the dead. I deeply believe in your unchanging word, and I am glad that I have the privilege to demonstrate my love and to acknowledge your authority. Now, according to your words, I pray, may your heavenly windows be open and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. May be blessed. Please be seated.